third case of the day, Sosky Distributing versus Riet Brewery. Mr. Roach?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Stephen Roach appearing on behalf of Zivich Brewery. In this case, there are a number of items that truly aren't in dispute. There is no dispute that the arbitration provision that's contained in the contract signed by both Stosky and Zivich is valid and enforceable under the Federal Arbitration Act and under the New York Convention. There's no dispute that the Federal Arbitration Act is a very important part of federal policy, or as the Supreme Court noted in the Circuit City case, it is an exercise of the commerce powers to the full. There's no dispute that the New York Convention is a valid and binding international treaty, and that both Poland and the United States are signatories to that treaty. And there's no dispute that the enforcement of this international treaty is an important part of the U.S. international policy relative to international trade. Indeed, the district court acknowledged all this in its opinion, but essentially rejected it out of hand, instead coming to the conclusion that because IBIFTA, or the Illinois Beer Industry Fair Dealing Act, was enacted under the 21st Amendment, that all of its provisions, therefore, were constitutional and took precedence. The Supreme Court has rejected this sort of an analysis on several different occasions in the Hofstetter opinion, the Bacchus opinion, 324, Mid-Cal, and others, where clearly the Supreme Court recognizes that the Commerce Clause and the 21st Amendment are in fact part of the same Constitution, and therefore they have to be harmonized and balanced, and that even though there is the 21st Amendment, that there still are rights that the United States government has to regulate this industry. This case isn't like this court's decision in Brittenbaugh versus Freeman Wilton. That case involved directly a direct shipment law in Indiana that prohibited the direct shipment from outstate to the consumers in Indiana. This court applied a historical analysis to come to the conclusion that when you're talking about direct shipments, which is what that was, that squarely falls within the 21st Amendment. And that just isn't the situation here. Again, we aren't dealing with a situation of the dormant Commerce Clause, if you will, that is, where Congress has not yet acted relative to international commerce. We are dealing with a situation where Congress has, in fact, addressed it, and they have passed the Federal Arbitration Act. They adopted the New York Convention, ratified it, and signed off on it, and incorporated it into the Federal Arbitration Act. The restrictions, and also what the state legislature is attempting to do in this case, is to restrict dispute resolution, not shipments. It doesn't have anything to do with the transportation of liquor. It doesn't have anything to do with the importation. It doesn't deal with time, place, or manner. Again, this is solely something that has to do with dispute resolution. For that reason, we submit that the 21st Amendment doesn't even apply at all. Now, to the extent that it does, it then puts a burden upon, under Supreme Court authority, put a burden upon Stosky to come forward with evidence that these restrictions on arbitration that are contained in IBIFTA have further some purpose, that they have some purpose, that it's an important purpose. They presented absolutely no evidence. The Attorney General presented no evidence in the amicus brief. There's no factual facts that are set forth. There's no legislative findings. There's no citation to legislative history as to why restricting arbitration in violation of the Federal Arbitration Act furthers any state purpose. Instead, there's only the unsubstantiated fear that allowing an arbitrator to rule on the issue outside the state of Illinois somehow will result in the law not being followed. There's nothing.
According to this contract, it will result in the law not being followed because it contains a Polish choice of law clause.
I would agree it does contain a Polish.
So therefore, it will result in the law not being followed.
Well, as to what law eventually gets followed is an issue that has not yet been determined.
Now, one, maybe your position ought to be that the choice of law remains to be determined, that we're here only about arbitration. But it's awfully hard to see how the Polish choice of law clause could be enforced.
Well, if that is the way the arbitrator rules, under the Federal Arbitration Act, that is, errors of law are subject to review. So if, and I believe that there are arguments as to why a BITDA wouldn't apply whatsoever. But that, again, that's not the issue.
Excuse me, what makes errors of law subject to review? First, this is going to be conducted in Poland, so it will be reviewed by a Polish court. What in Polish law makes arbitrators' errors of law subject to judicial review?
In Poland, I can't answer that question.
I can tell you that in the United States, errors of law by an arbitrator are certainly not subject to judicial review. We've said that over and over.
I apologize, Your Honor. I thought that if it's a combined finding of fact and law, that would not be subject to review, but clear errors of law. And
no,
I could be mistaken.
Not clear errors, not any errors. Neither the Federal Arbitration Act nor the New York Convention makes errors of law subject to review. What's subject to review is whether the arbitrators are corrupt, basically. So if you think your position depends on legal review of the arbitrator's decision, I think you're in trouble. But maybe you don't think your position depends on that.
I don't believe that it does. This is something that is, again, the issue is whether or not a state can change its form or basically change the federal
arbitration. Do you think there'd be any problem in this case of the district court saying, I'm going to order arbitration or dismiss in favor of arbitration if and only if the brewer forswears reliance on a Polish choice of law clause?
Do I believe that makes a difference?
Do you think that would be within the district court's power?
Not at the no, I would not.
Well, but then how is any U.S. court going to enforce the rule, which is surely within Illinois' power, to declare substantively that beer distributorships in Illinois are governed by Illinois substantive law? Right? Choice of law and choice of forum are logically distinct things. When the Supreme Court said that international arbitration of securities issues could be enforced, it was crystal clear that a requirement in the arbitration clause that any law other than the Federal Securities Act be applied would wipe out the deal. And when the Supreme Court said in the Mitsubishi case that international antitrust arbitration would be enforced, it was crystal clear that any choice of law other than U.S. antitrust law would wipe out the deal. Well, your client has got a clause that purports to choose Polish law, substantive, for Illinois distributorships. And it seems to me that under cases like Wilco against Swan and Mitsubishi, trying to put those things together, and you say it is not possible for a U.S. court to take them apart, gives you a headache at a minimum.
I'm not sure it necessarily gives me a headache right at the moment, but thinking about it longer probably will. I believe that there is a difference between the choice of law provisions and the arbitration provisions.
Indeed there is, and therefore I would have expected your answer to my question to be yes. The district court could make it a condition to arbitration that Illinois substantive law be applied. C, Wilco against Swan and Mitsubishi. But you answered my question, no. It's an all-or-none package, you said. Well, that raises the question whether the right answer isn't none.
Well, Your Honor, I'll confess I'm not familiar with the Mitsubishi holdings. He may be absolutely right.
I would think that you would look up Supreme Court decisions dealing with international commercial arbitration in a case involving international commercial arbitration.
I did. That just wasn't one of them. What was required under the Supreme Court setting standards for the analysis is for the state to come forward with the evidence. We submit that no evidence was submitted by the court. There was no analysis given that in arbitration proceedings under other acts or under this act, the law was not followed, that there were errors that were made. There was absolutely nothing to establish that the restrictions and prohibitions on arbitration was not enforceable. The United States Supreme Court has struck down matters that are directly related to time, place, and manner of distribution. The posting of a wholesale price in the Mid-Cal case was struck down under the Commerce Clause under an act of the act of the Sherman Act. In the 324 liquor case, a minimum price at the retail level was struck down under the Sherman Act. And under Capital Cities versus Crisp, a ban on advertising on cable, again under the Commerce Act, was shut down. There's one other case I'd like to just raise briefly, and then I'll reserve for rebuttal. The Attorney General cited in its amicus an Eighth Circuit case, Standard Security, under the Karen-Ferguson Act, which is an act that granted to the states the power to regulate the business of insurance for the basis that this is an example of how the Federal Arbitration Act gets consumed. We submit that the current Ferguson Act is not the same sort of thing as the 21st Amendment, because what's specifically done by Congress in that act is to directly turn over to the state the power to regulate the business of insurance.
Actually, the Webb-Pomeroy Act did that for liquor. That, of course, was a period before Prohibition.
That's correct, as this court had pointed out in your opinion.
Do you think it got resurrected by the 21st Amendment?
The Webb Canyon Act?
Webb-Pomeroy Act.
The Webb-Pomeroy, no, I do not.
And certainly not the Volstead Act, I assume.
Thank you, Mr. Roach.
Thank you.
Mr. Edelman?
May it please the court, my name is Gary Edelman. I am with the law firm of Edelman Hochheiser, PC, Garden City, New York, and we represent the appellee Stosky Distributing Company. Zivius has taken a very restrictive view of this litigation from the very start, and they are trying to have the court focus only on the arbitration provision, which is part of the BIFTA. The court below, Judge Lufkow, appropriately in our view, viewed the entire statute as a whole and indicated that the arbitration provisions are absolutely essential in order to assure that a BIFTA is enforced. I don't think anybody in this courtroom
is enforced.
That a BIFTA will be enforced.
What?
A BIFTA, the Illinois Beer Industry Fair Deal.
Why don't you use English words? We're not specialists in this.
Sorry, Your Honor.
Field. So just say
the Illinois beer industry, the Illinois beer statute. Thank you, Ryan. I don't think anybody here would argue that the Illinois legislature does not have the right to determine the type of distribution system under the 21st Amendment that Illinois should have. And in fact, the Illinois legislature has done that.
That's of course why I was asking whether the choice of law clause and the choice of forum clause are separable. Let's assume that they are, despite your adversary's position. why can't the choice of forum clause be enforced independent of the choice of law clause?
Well, practically, Your Honor, I don't see how a federal court sitting in Illinois would have the authority to impose its will upon an arbitration court in Poland.
Because it can't.
Whose rules specifically say that Polish law will apply.
Well, if it turns out that it is not possible to arbitrate in Poland without applying Polish substantive law, then one supposes that the arbitration couldn't be enforced. But let's suppose it's possible. Let's suppose one can craft an order that says, I will refer this case to arbitration and stay the litigation if and only if the beer distributor makes an enforceable promise that the arbitration will proceed under Illinois substantive law. Pretty much like the Mitsubishi resolution in the Supreme Court. There had to be an enforceable promise that the international arbitration would proceed under the Sherman Act.
Well, I guess the answer to that question would depend upon whether or not we would have, A, the ability to oppose the enforcement of that order here, if in fact it turned out that they did not.
The district court has personal jurisdiction over the distributor. If the distributor doesn't honor that, the distributor can be strung up by its heels over a large cliff. There's no problem enforcing the order against the distributor. No one would suggest throwing the arbitrators into prison, but the beer's distiller is here, available in Illinois.
That is correct, Your Honor. To answer your question, were that an enforceable order, which is not the case that not what we're faced with right here, I might say, then the arguments would be different. Clearly, would be different.
Yeah, well, but don't we have to resolve that? I mean, your argument and that of the state seems to be that under the 21st Amendment, the state can compel a choice of forum, and what that leads to is my question. If you had chosen to file a suit in state court, could the defendant have removed it to federal court?
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Well, I believe that he would have
The reason why you would say, of course, is that there's a provision in the United States Code saying that that can be done. Well, yeah, but the New York Convention is also a provision in the United States Code, and under the treaty clause, it's the supreme law of the land. So why, in your view, would the defendant be entitled to remove to federal court enforcing 28 U.S.C. 1441, but is not entitled to remove to an arbitration forum enforcing 9 U.S.C. 201?
Well, because the federal court, Your Honor, would still be located within Illinois, and under Avinho, that would not be a conflict.
I hate to say this. It doesn't have anything to do with the price of beer.
Well, that
the fact that it's located in Illinois doesn't have anything to do with the relation. Your argument, the district court's holding, is that under the 21st Amendment, states can prevent the application of federal law to the litigation, to the resolution of disputes between wholesalers and retailers. Right? And if that's true, then states can prevent the removal of cases to federal court. If, on the other hand, as you say, and I'm sure it's true, states can't prevent the removal of cases to federal court, then I don't see how states can prevent arbitration under federal law.
I think the distinction, Your Honor, is that by removing, if we had filed in state court to begin with, and Zivich had moved to remove it as of right to federal court, I would have no basis under BIFTA to oppose that because the Beer Act specifically says that any action must be brought in either a state or federal court within Illinois with appropriate jurisdiction.
I'm actually surprised that you wouldn't say that gives the retailer or, gives your client a choice of forum rather than giving the defendant a choice of forum.
It does, in the first instance, of course, give us a choice of forum. But right. I would not have.
Client a choice of forum subject to federal law that lets the opposing side choose a forum. Well, federal exactly what's going on in arbitration.
Federal
side has a choice of forum subject to a federal law that may permit a different choice of forum.
I see it as a much different issue, Your Honor. I see it as a...
In any event, I don't think you're getting the gist of my question. On the district court's understanding of the 21st Amendment, on the argument in your brief about the 21st Amendment, if Illinois repealed the words "or federal court" out of that statute, they could prevent removal to federal court. And if you think, however, that that repeal would be ineffectual because of the supremacy clause of the Constitution, then I don't understand why you don't think that an effort to prevent arbitration under federal law is ineffectual.
Well, Your Honor, I think we have to look at the case, at a concrete case, look at this case. And under
no,
the facts of this case...
we have to look at this case under legal rules that we will determine. And one of those legal rules is, what is the relation between state and federal law? Once we figure that out, we can apply the law to the facts of this case. But we don't get legal rules out of facts. We apply legal rules to facts.
I agree 100%, and that is in fact what I am suggesting. And under the facts of this case, if we apply the rule that this case gets removed, or can be removed, to an arbitration forum outside of Illinois, outside the state, and under circumstances where Illinois law will not be applied, then in effect, the state has absolutely no means to enforce its statute.
Now we come back to confusing choice of law with choice of forum. And as I said to your adversary, the Supreme Court has been very clear that those two have to be disentangled. The premise of enforcing international arbitration, securities laws, antitrust laws, RICO for that matter, has been that those two things can be disentangled and must be disentangled.
And however, under the facts of this case, they are by reason of the contract and the forum rules in Poland, they are necessarily intertwined. I understand the argument that, or the point
not
that
an argument,
Your Honor is
making. It's a holding of the Supreme
yes,
Court.
I understand the point that Your Honor is making. However, I think in this present case, under the facts of this case, the distinction is that there is no it's a fait accompli, as Your Honor pointed out during Mr. Roach's argument, that Polish law will apply in this case. If we are compelled to go to Poland, Polish law will apply. If a brewer...
Not if the district court orders otherwise. Because if the district court orders otherwise, and your adversary attempts to apply Polish law, be in contempt of court, and really nasty things happen to people who are in contempt of court.
I agree, Ron. To get back to the point that I was trying to make before, the state has the unequivocal right to regulate the distribution of alcoholic beverages within its state. This is not a case about cheese. If it was a case about cheese, we wouldn't be here. The Federal Arbitration Act would preempt, and that would be that. The state has the ability to regulate, to establish its distribution system. Along with that right to establish necessarily includes the right to regulate. This is recognized by the Supreme Court in MidCal, where they said specifically that we're not limited just specifically to time, place, and manner. There are necessarily far more avenues, far more matters that will be...
If they were blatantly discriminatory and between distribution systems, would that...
Well, if they are blatantly discriminatory under the concept of economic protectionism, favoring an in-state distributor or supplier versus an out-of-state supplier, then clearly they're not enforceable under this court's decision in Breidenbach and under any number of the Supreme Court decisions. We're not dealing with a discriminatory statute. In fact, if the appellant's argument is enforced, it actually creates a reverse discrimination, because then only suppliers located within the state of Illinois would be absolutely bound by the Illinois Act, because any supplier outside of Illinois would have the ability to incorporate an arbitration and choice of law provision in their agreement which would compel the application of another forum's law.
You have what, seven states that you distribute to? Seven states? Six or seven?
Right now there are seven states that are distributed to just about every, there are seven states.
Maybe I'm just going to have to give up, but is there anything in the New York Convention which privileges the contracting parties to make a different choice of substantive law?
I don't believe that it is specifically in the New York Convention.
No, I don't think it's there either. So I don't understand your assertion that unless the 21st Amendment blocks this, parties will have unfettered ability to contract for choice of Polish law. It's not something given by the Arbitration Act. It's not a right given by the New York Convention. Where does it come from?
Well, as I tried to indicate before, Your Honor, I believe it's an issue of both practicality and common practice.
No, I just don't get it. The argument you're making sounds like the losing argument in Swan. And that the losing argument in Swan was, we're going to have international arbitration of this securities dispute. It's going to occur in Europe. Obviously, they're not going to apply the securities law, to which the Supreme Court said that's wrong. The international arbitration in Mitsubishi took place in Tokyo. And the losing argument was, well, they won't apply the Sherman Act. And the Supreme Court said, no, they have to apply the Sherman Act. That's a condition of this arbitration. And here you're now saying, well, the arbitration is going to occur in Warsaw, so obviously they won't apply U.S. law. Well, you know, we've been here before, one thinks.
Your Honor, that is not, it's not what we are faced with right now. Judge Eastburg's decision, Judge Lefkow's decision was on a motion to stay this lawsuit here and our motion to stay the arbitration in Poland. It was not an argument that was raised below. Obviously, the court certainly can raise any arguments that the court wants. It wasn't an issue that was raised by Zivich in the court below. It wasn't an issue that was dealt with by Judge Lefkow. So from a theoretical standpoint, I'm sure that the court can issue conditions that would be enforceable against Zivich, even though not enforceable against the arbitrators in Poland. I think it creates a morass when the state statute is very clear that in order to avoid all of that, just have it here in Illinois, under Illinois law. You want to arbitrate? Arbitrate here under the American Arbitration Association. It's right in the statute.
In your view, that's preempted too. Right? The 21st Amendment, you said, and the district court held, blocks the application of federal law. It blocks the application of the Arbitration Act. It blocks the application of the New York Convention. I don't see how, on your view, where the district court's holding, you could have arbitration under the Arbitration Act in Illinois, in Iowa, anyplace.
Again, Your Honor, that's part of the statute. That's part of the Act. The Act says the Act doesn't prohibit arbitration. The Act specifically has provisions which make it more likely that arbitration was actually agreed to by the parties, and if it was agreed to by the parties, it says, okay, arbitrate under the American Arbitration
Law. Was agreed to by the parties here.
There is a clause in a contract that says that. Whether or not that was a...
And you're arguing that it can't be enforced, even though as a matter of federal law, it is enforceable. Right? That's the holding of the district court, that this clause, which would be enforceable as a matter of the Federal Arbitration Act and a treaty to which almost all the world subscribes, nonetheless can't be enforced because of the 21st Amendment.
That's correct.
Exactly. So there's no difference for the purpose of this analysis between the Arbitration Act and the New York Convention.
That is correct. It is our position simply that this is a valid exercise of the state's power under the 21st Amendment, and as long as it is not discriminatory, which it is not, it is enforceable under applicable precedent in this circuit and under all applicable Supreme Court cases. I see my red light is on. If you're prepared to rest on our brief. If there are other questions, I'm
happy to. Thank you, Mr. Edelman.
Thank you.
Mr. Ebert?
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. May I please the court? My name is Assistant Attorney General Carl Elitz, appearing on behalf of the State of Illinois in this matter as an amicus in favor of the appellee, Strosky Distributing. Your Honor, the provisions of the Beer Act, including the provisions regarding the termination of a beer distributorship and the so-called anti-arbitration provisions, which are what is principally challenged by the appellant, are a valid exercise of the state's authority under the 21st Amendment. Because the Beer Act...
Counsel, do you know of any other decision that permits a state to prevent the application of federal legislation based on a claim arising under the 21st Amendment?
No, Your Honor.
Every time it's come up before, you agree that the federal court has held that the federal law wins, which is what you'd expect if you understand the 21st Amendment as ditching the Dormant Commerce Clause for liquor. When Congress actually exercises its power, it wins.
The Commerce Clause, Your Honor, I don't know of anything that would say that the other is true, though, Your Honor, that just because Congress has said, in this particular instance, spoken specifically...
There are plenty of cases that say that. That's the holding of Mid-Cal Aluminum, that the antitrust laws apply to the liquor business, the holding of Capital Cities against Crisp, that all the TV laws apply to the liquor business. There are lots of cases holding that general federal laws apply, notwithstanding the 21st Amendment, to the liquor business. And I'm not aware of any case holding the opposite other than this district court opinion.
But in those cases, Your Honor, isn't the analysis really based upon the fact that the justification that the states try to use to justify the setting aside of federal law doesn't rise to a level sufficient to warrant that sort of treatment to the state law? Here we have a state that's exercising its power to, in what I would say is the core of the core concerns in the 21st Amendment, which is the idea that the states are free to regulate the taxation of liquor and the act. And because the state has that power in the 21st Amendment, they're part of the same Constitution, the Commerce Clause of the 21st Amendment.
But you're now again arguing the substance of the state's regulation, and there's nothing in federal law inconsistent with the substance of the state's regulation. What's on the table here is choice of forum. Let me ask you the same question I asked earlier. Do you think there'd be any problem removing the case arising under the Beer Act from state court to federal court?
Well, not to avoid your question, Your Honor. I think my answer is I don't know of any that would prevent the court from ordering the arbitrator in Poland to apply the Illinois law. At least in that point, if that were done, at least I would not have an argument to say, well, look, the state's power under the 21st Amendment is being undermined because we would be assured at least that the Beer Act would be applied in Poland. However, that was not the argument that was advanced in the district court. That was not the argument that was advanced in this court. So they sort of took the all or nothing argument that the state didn't have the authority to do this at all in this case.
Right. Well, it might be that your adversary has pinned itself into a box by saying that it's all or nothing. Take the choice of forum and the choice of law, or take nothing. But I'm worried about the choice of forum independent of the choice of law. And of course, the reason I ask this removal question is because it looks to me like the district court's rationale, and for that matter, your argument, would say that under the 21st Amendment, a state could block removal, could insist that all cases, even involving diversity of citizenship, must be litigated in state court.
But Your Honor, the Illinois hasn't done that, and certainly in this case, because the Act says that it can be brought in federal or state court, and removal
doesn't give the plaintiffs a choice, doesn't give the defendants a choice. That's the whole fight here, right? The plaintiff apparently has a choice to arbitrate, but your argument is that the defendant doesn't have a choice to arbitrate.
As I understand, the law provides both parties the opportunity to avoid arbitration. If they, I just think I'm not answering your question, so
no,
I'll ask you perhaps to ask it one more time, and I'll do my best.
Do you think, under the 21st Amendment, the state has the power to prevent a defendant from removing to federal court?
I don't, Your Honor.
And why do you think the state does not have that power.
I don't believe that was the intention of the 21st Amendment.
The 21st Amendment does not enact the contents of anyone's head. It's particular language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some argument that would say that the language of the 21st Amendment does not allow the states to block removal, but does allow the states to block arbitration? Is there some argument about the based on the language of the 21st Amendment to that effect?
Your Honor, I have to say I just don't know. I mean, honestly, that's the only answer I can give as opposed to making an argument up.
Okay.
The point that I think is that should not be lost in this case is that the three-tier system in Illinois, with its middle tier giving the state control over the taxation and control of distributors, is a critical element of the state tax scheme. If the state doesn't have that opportunity by controlling the distributorship agreements, then the state is required to hire a team of people to go out and do the work that independent distributors essentially do for us by assuring the collection of taxes and the regulation of the liquor industry.
Mr. Hewitt, how is it that the issue of the termination of the contract, the liquor contract, speaks to the state's interest in transportation, importation, delivery, or the use of liquor? Why is this a core concern?
It's essential for the states to have what the cases refer to as orderly market conditions.
I understand that.
We have a very limited number of resources that we can use to make sure that the flow of beer into Illinois is taxed properly. And by making sure that distributors and brewers are partnered up in a semi-permanent way, we have a limited number of players where we know where the beer is coming through the state and how to go about making sure that all that beer gets taxed.
Well, how does the termination, though, interrupt your ability or impair the state's ability to accomplish that end?
If brewers were able to terminate and choose different distributors, they could choose distributors so often that the state would constantly be chasing who is distributing your beer today. We know
that this business isn't like an ice cream vendor with a small truck, is it? I mean, this is a market entry and this area requires a significant presence, right?
Yes,
I mean,
it does.
It's not a mom-and-pop, one-truck liquor operation, yeah. Normally.
Used to be a mom-and-pop operation.
Well, but I mean today.
It's not in Cook County.
It promotes the stability. The answer to your question is that it promotes the stability of the distributorship brewer relationship, and so we know who the players are, and that's the reason why the Beer Act acts as it does.
You don't think simple licensing gives you that identification capacity?
It won't promote the stability that we have in Illinois with the Beer Act.
Well, who issues the license?
The Illinois Commerce Commission would issue licenses.
Yeah, that's agency of the state, right?
Yes.
And that's not a sufficient identifier for the purposes of being able to see who legally is entering the field.
The history of alcohol in Illinois is well known. We have a problem. We've had a problem in this state and the others with the top tier and the middle tier trying to collapse. The industry wants to integrate.
What area could be excluded? I mean, could advertising between a distributor and manufacturer be excluded? Is there any? I guess I'm really looking to see what is there any area that wouldn't fit your definition or the state's definition of their core interest in this industry?
Well, we're dealing. The relationship between the manufacturer and the distributor is one involving the delivery of alcohol. The language of the 21st Amendment speaks directly to that. Who are the people who are delivering the alcohol has to be part of that core concern. I don't know that the advertising of alcohol would fit within that argument. The states have argued in the past that the advertising of alcohol goes to the function of the states to promote temperance, and the courts have said, you know, have looked askance at that and said that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, I'm talking, for example, about the possibility of an advertising allowance being used in some alleged discriminatory fashion, whether that would be a core interest in regulation.
To the extent that it forces the distributor in that middle tier to become a mere agent of the brewer, if the agent is subject to that sort of market pressure to do as the Brewer instructs him to do, then there's the risk that the independence of that middle tier will be lost and the state will not have the opportunity to want to have the verification that it gets from having a level of independent distributors.
What about the something like time sensitive? That is, the date on the beer not being...
the born date?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your question.
Well, is that something that the state is concerned about, or would that be a legitimate basis for a brewer to terminate a distributor's...
Not in the middle tier, Your Honor. I think the regulation at the middle tier level is principally about taxation collection and regulation in that way. And so...
that would be a legitimate basis for a brewer to terminate a distributor?
If the distributor were not delivering the beer right. Timely, certainly. Thank you, Your Honors. We'd ask that the court affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Ely.
Thank you.
Mr. Roach.
During Stosky's argument, there was a statement made that if the statute is non-discriminatory, then it should be enforced. I don't believe that's what the standard was. I believe the Discriminatory Act applies in the Dormant Commerce Clause cases and not in the cases where you have the actual exercise of the powers by the federal court. And I've been thinking over the question that has been asked several times now. And I think part of the difficulty everyone is having with the suggestion is that it was an issue that was not presented to the district court or briefed by the district court in terms of whether or not the district court could make a holding as to what law applies and then send the case off to arbitration. And so, that's one resolution, I suppose, would be a remand for the court to make that determination in terms of what, if the appropriate exercise of the power, and B, if so, then what the choice of law would be. I believe it would be clearly enforceable against the parties if they were to violate it under the contempt powers, and indeed that was done in the court below and relative to the arbitration in the first place. The court ordered the parties not to proceed, and the parties appeared to adjourn, put it over, basically to stay the arbitration. So I would again request the court to reverse the decision of the district court that says that the Federal Arbitration Act doesn't apply in this case.
When you sought to terminate this contract, you gave them 12 months' notice. Did you indicate the basis for the termination?
Not in that letter, Your Honor. I believe that there was a letter sent in close proximity where there were several reasons that were given for the termination, which I believe is in the appendix. It was not in the letter itself. It was a letter that said you're done in 12 months.
Doesn't the Beer Act require notice, indication of reasons, apart from the requirement then to arbitrate or possibility to arbitrate?
That is what the Beer Act does. I think I'd have to go back and look, but I believe under all different bases for termination, you have to set forth the reasons in the termination notice. I think that's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Roach. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fourth case of the day.